How are you?
Very good, John.
How are you, Mr. Bush?
May it please the Court, I hope to save 5 minutes for rebuttal. Starting with the plain language, the SCR preemption clause issue here, the evidence is overwhelming. The Congress intended to prevent all state laws and put prior to prohibition on the exchange information on and not merely on the mail category of consumer court. Even the district court, page 88 of the record, acknowledged that honoring the plain language of the text would result in preemption. The Supreme Court's decision earlier this year in the manufacturers, holding that the language of the preemption clause is categorical and that it is impossible to find within it a limitation there imposed by the lower courts, fits this case to a T. The district court's substitution of the very limited term consumer report with the broad term information, standing alone, is added ground to the rule, but there's much, much more. The context in which the term is used. Term information is the same term, information on consumer, that's used in the general savings clause. It's simply inconceivable that in this carefully drafted complex statutory scheme, Congress mistakenly used the term information in 1681T when it intended consumer reports for a court's held. And what makes this even clearer is that when you look at the other preemption clauses, six others that precede the one at issue here, every one of those is in the category of subject matter regulated under various provisions of the FCRA as consumer reports. The one at issue here is in a different subsection, the very next one, that is not subject matter regulation. There's a rather broader term with respect to the exchange of information among affiliates. And while we don't need legislative history when you have clear language like we have here, it's compelling too, because in 1992, Congress had actually drafted a narrower preemption clause that would have applied only to credit reports, which is another word for consumer reports. In 1993, when it opened up affiliate sharing by amending other parts of the Act, it then broadened the preemption clause so as to apply to information in general.
Can I ask you this? In 1681T2, the preemption clause upon which you're relying here, it refers to information without elaboration. It says no requirement or prohibition may be imposed under the laws of any state with respect to the exchange of information among da-da-da. Any information? All information? Trade secrets? Medical information? What's information mean here?
Certainly not. I think the meaning flows naturally from the Savings Clause 1681T sub A uses the phrase information on consumers. And that, in turn, has to do with, of course, saving from preemption, except...
Wait a minute. Where were you with that?
1681 sub T sub A.
Of any information on consumers? Well, how about health information on consumers?
Well, actually, that's dealt with in the statute, too. There's a whole category of medical information that is carved out. It's carved out by the 2003 amendments. So that can't be freely shared. But
and also that can't be, and the state can't regulate the flow of medical information?
What I'm saying is...
No, I'm asking you a question.
This preemption clause that we're talking about would not apply to that category of information because it's not freed up for sharing. It can't be shared anyway.
Well, where's that qualification come into the definition of information then? Because you directed me up here, information on consumers as my restriction on information, and now you're saying, well, but it's even narrower than that. For example, medical information on consumers isn't included within the preemption clause.
Well, what I'm talking about is the operation of the statute as a whole. There's no danger of the exchange of medical information amongst affiliates because... that is carved out by 1681 sub A.
But that wouldn't have anything to do with whether states were precluded from adopting laws that protected the exchange of medical information, would it?
No, but see, the preemption clause we're talking about has to do only with preempting states from imposing restrictions and prohibitions on the exchange of information amongst affiliates.
Right. But I'm trying to figure out what the definition of information is, and you start out by directing me to say, well, it's information on consumers, but then I say, but there's certain categories of information on consumers, for example, health information on consumers. You say, well, you know, it's actually even narrower than information on consumers. I know you said that, but what I'm after is, can the state regulate it? Because it says, as to two, no, with respect to exchange of information among persons, when you say there's none at play, that's a different question. I'm trying to figure out what the state is precluded from regulation rather than what this statute regulates.
What I'm saying is the preemption clause that we're talking about has to be only with the exchange of information amongst affiliates. That's all it has to
be. Now,
there are other preemption clauses, all the ones that I refer to that have to do with various kinds of consumer reports, but the state is also preempted from. I don't think this case raises an issue of whether or not the states are preempted in a general way of regulating medical information. I'm not arguing this, that the preemption clause that I'm defending here has to do with that because it's been carved out.
But are you saying that the states are disabled from regulating the sharing among affiliates of medical information on consumers?
They would be.
They are, but this preemption clause forbids them to regulate the sharing of medical information among affiliates?
What I'm saying is, if it were part of the FCRA that allowed that kind of sharing, which it doesn't. Been carved out of that and been placed in a more secure category, if you will. So there's really not an issue here, Judge Fletcher, of medical information. But let me be clear as to what kind of information we're talking about. And this will bring it to sharper focus. From day one, from 1970, when this act was enacted, it was always permissible for a bank, for example, to share experience information, amounts of deposit account. Is this a good creditor or not, with one of its affiliates. That so-called experience information has always been shareable because it's never been regarded as a consumer report. It was carved out at the beginning. The California statute would bar the sharing of even that kind of information. That's really what we're talking about. We're not talking about trade secrets. Something like that would qualify for the absurd results doctrine.
Well, I understand that you want to get rid of those things because they are perhaps absurd results, but I'm trying to understand how you get there given the text of the statute. And this word information that shows up in the preemption clause is in the clause itself unqualified, and I'm trying to figure out where you're getting your qualifiers from.
Can I try one more?
Please.
What's really at issue here is, can they import the word consumer report and so limit information?
No, I'm sorry. I understand their position, and I understand what the district court did, and I think the district court, and this is now speaking only for myself, was wrong to say that only consumer reports can be regulated. I'm coming at it from the other side that says information is an awfully broad term, so how much is preempted?
Well, all I can tell you, doing my best.
I understand you are.
Is that if we're looking at SB1 and what it doesn't deal with medical information. We're trying to convince you that SB1 is preempted because it in fact bars the exchange of experience information. It bars the conventional kinds of information about customers that...
Well, it doesn't so much bar it as it requires a one-year authorization every year.
Well, it requires, it submits it to an opt-out, which becomes a prohibition.
Well, no, you much prefer the system that sends you some unreadable thing that says, if you don't want this to be shared, we don't enclose an envelope, but there's somewhere buried in here is our address, and you can send us back something, and if you send it back and apply your own stamp, we won't do it. That's what you like.
Well, my likes are neither here nor there.
Yeah, I see.
Talking about what, of course, Congress has done. Let me
That's what I like to get in the mail.
Yeah.
if it matters.
Well, let's say the district court, they rejected the term consumer report, and thereafter, the legislative history of the 1996 were clear that it applied to all these kind of laws. Congress revisited this in 2003 when they tightened up and made even more protective information additional requirements. Before sharing can happen now, there has to be an opt-out opportunity given to the customer not to be solicited. Don't call me. Don't solicit. You have to do that.
And how precisely does that work? Is that the one where they send you the thing that says, if you send us something back, we won't do it?
It's an opt-out regime. You have to give notice to the customer.
I think your answer is yes.
And the customer says, I opt out. Yes, correct. But Congress did that. They expanded the scope of the preemption clause. They made it permanent. And the legislative history was overwhelming. Everybody who addressed the issue, California senators, opponents, supporters, they all recognized that SB 1 would be preempted. Finally, we have to keep on the positive side, so I get to the state's arguments. We have the views of every federal agency that regulates financial institutions and has responsibility over all three of the statutes to issue the FCRA, 2003 amendments, and what we Washington lawyers call GLEBA, Glenn Grand, Lee Wiley. They all agree that this is not limited to consumer reports. And importantly, they also stress the policy that Congress would follow. There must be they carefully crafted a national system to govern these issues. They describe the benefits of a national uniform system, such as reduced costs of credit and greater credit availability. And this is really important, they describe the perils of state-by-state regulation. I'm sure that you have looked at the brief about the 27 states in this case on behalf of the state of California. They all say current law is inadequate. That's a guarantee that if this law is upheld in this case, that every state in the union wants to, and every community, municipalities.
Well, at least 27.
27, well, probably more. But in any case, that's what's an issue. Now, against all of this, the district court held it just didn't make sense to preempt here because the information we're talking about is not regulated by the FCRA. There are two answers to that, actually three. One is Congress often preempts without regulating to ensure that states don't regulate either. Two, and really more importantly, the FCRA does regulate to the exact extent that Congress thought was appropriate. The sharing of this information among affiliates. It gave a special opt-out opportunity. I know Judge Fletcher doesn't.
Well, I mean, it is an opt-out opportunity.
It's an opt-out opportunity on several levels. One, on marketing use, the new one I talked about, that in 1996 they gave an opt-out opportunity for so-called non-experienced information, things gathered from credit, from loan applications, deposit applications. They regulated the extent Congress thought regulation was appropriate. Thirdly, it would have made no sense at all to limit this preemption clause the way the state says, and they convinced the district court of this, it should be limited. Because the whole purpose of the 1996 amendments was to take this information out of the category of consumer report so that it could be freely shared. And thereafter, that's exactly what happened. So all the information that's being shared amongst affiliates, which is the predicate for the way these organizations work today, and Congress encouraged that, indeed, in some instances, required it to grant these widely, required them to push out some of their activities to affiliates. That's how it's working. It would have been pointless to limit the preemption clause to consumer reports. The reliance on the Graham v. Wiley Act defies the plain language of that statute. Congress went out of its way, a special clause that says nothing in this act shall modify, limit, or supersede the FCRA.
Several times in your brief, you refer to that Graham, the GLEBA Act, as regulating the exchange of information with non-affiliates, with outsiders. But I never got a quotation from you of the specific provision of the statute that so confines its operation.
Well, I don't have it with me. Maybe my colleague can give it to you. I'll give it to you during rebuttal. But it does restrict, allow restriction of the sharing of information between one company and somebody who's completely unrelated.
Does it also restrict information sharing among affiliates?
No.
So it only restricts information sharing between one entity and a non-affiliate.
And its savings clause. Its savings clause is just like, almost word for word, the savings clause before this court, Bank of America versus.
No, I read the savings clause.
You read that case. Same thing. That savings clause is restricted to the provisions of this subject and can't be applied to wholly undo preemption under other law.
What do you make of this? It's fairly unusual where they actually list state statutes, like the Vermont statute annotated.
Yes.
You said everybody was aware of SB 1.
Yes, sir.
And I think we should infer something from the fact that it wasn't listed along with the Vermont statute here. They seem to have drawn specific exemptions for specific state laws.
Oh, I know. And California wanted something like that. They didn't get it when Congress revisited them just at the end of this last year.
And was the Vermont provision put in 1996?
96, it was.
Okay. So the explanation is not Jim Jeffords.
It was Patrick Clay.
Okay.
If I may, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay.
Please, the court. My name is Susan Hendrickson. I am representing Appley's Attorney General, California Attorney General Bill Lofter, and Insurance Commissioner Dr. Randy. And my colleague Kim Gauthier from the Department of Corporations is representing Commissioners Wood and Gould. We will be splitting our time evenly, so.
It's your time.
Thank you, Ryan.
So long as you stand there, you know, she can come up and sort of move your side. But
I hope she doesn't have to do that.
Okay.
We are not asking, California is not asking this court to ignore the plain language, nor to read anything into the statutes that is not there. What we are asking is what the Supreme Court has done in numerous cases, and this court has as well, which is to look at words in context, to look at the statute as a whole, and not to look at words in isolation. The result of the very broad preemption that appellants are arguing for would be a significant influence in the state's traditional right to regulate, to exercise its police powers.
Well, that's how preemption works.
Sorry,
that's how preemption works.
Yes,
it keeps the states from regulating things. We've got express preemption. It means Congress has thought about it pretty carefully and decided, yes, it's going to go ahead, and the interests of national unity are more important than the interest of local regulation. And in this case, they seem to have micromanaged it. They seem to be very careful in saying what they will preempt and what they will not preempt. And SB1 clearly falls within the core of the stuff that's preempted. I don't understand how you can get around it.
I would respectfully submit that Congress did not micromanage the national privacy, and Congress did not preempt the states in the domain of the privacy. Where it has preempted the states in specific areas is with respect to consumer reporting. The definition of a consumer report is basically...
Well, it doesn't say that. I mean, the district court said that, but that's not what the statute says. The statute talks about sharing of information between affiliates.
The FCRA only regulates, and in this, the appellants are incorrect, and I would like to demonstrate, explain why. Appellants have argued that the FCRA, in fact, regulates information that is outside the context of the consumer reporting. That is not correct. The exceptions that they, or the provisions that they cite as evidence for this, start with the marketing opt-out provision. That was section 1681S3, and it's the provision that says if you get information from the affiliate, you cannot use that information to make a marketing solicitation to a consumer without giving the consumer the chance to say, no, I don't want the marketing solicitation. First of all, this does not regulate disclosure, it regulates use. More importantly, it applies only to information that would be a consumer report, but for the exclusion from the definition of consumer report of affiliate sharing. Now,
so what?
It's still, The statute still only regulates in the context of the basic definition of a consumer report, which is communication of information by a consumer reporting agency.
Well, but I thought it covered quite a bit more than that, sharing information with things that are not, the health information, all sorts of things that are not consumer reports.
No, the health information provision that was referred to by Mr. Bruce, in fact, only applies to information that would be a consumer report but for the exclusion of affiliate sharing. All Congress did there was say, okay, if you're going to exchange information on affiliates that bears on this medical information, we're not going to exclude that from the protection of the SCRA. We are going to regulate it as a consumer report, but it still contains the phrase that would be a consumer report but for the exemption.
Can you point to me where in the statute medical information is specifically regulated? Mr. Bruce alluded to it, but he didn't point me to a specific part of the statute.
It was regulated under the FACT Act by changing the definition of consumer report. A definition of it, which is 1681A.
Yeah, that's right. So it's all here in 1681A, which I have here in front of me. But it doesn't say anything about health reports. It's just sort of there. It's included under the other information under 2A, triple I, communication of other information, that's to say of non-experience information.
No, there is a further provision that I believe is in 1681A that was added in 2003 that defines let me go back to
It's 1681AI, medical information. It's where medical information is defined.
Okay.
What it does is say that, okay, we have excluded Congress have excluded information shared among affiliates from the definition of the consumer report. We have therefore excluded it from regulation under the FCRA. However, for medical information, we are going to add, by the provision that Judge Riley just referred to, Congress has said we are going to add medical information back into the definition of the consumer report, even when it's shared among affiliates, because we want to protect it under the FCRA. But again, it's information that would be a consumer report, but for the exclusion from affiliate sharing. And there is no, although accounts argue for plain meaning interpretation, their plain meaning depends on going to other parts of the statute or even outside the statute in order to limit the preemptive effect here. If their interpretation of the affiliate sharing preemption provision and that of the federal agencies who filed the amicus brief were accepted, the states would also be preempted from regulating sharing among affiliates of any information that's what 1681 D2 says. It says exchange of information on persons going.
Counsel, let me approach this from a little different way. There are two things that are going on here. The first is that we are regulating the sharing of consumer information. That's the original 1970 Act. There's a second important development, sort of a banking development here, sort of a banking-specific development, and that is the opening up to banks of allowing them to sell insurance and securities and a whole lot of other things that they were always prohibited from selling. So what we've done is we've really expanded the kinds of affiliates that banks can have. Now, why isn't the preemption provision here more of a banking provision? That is, one that protects that bank affiliate relationship, and to which Congress has preempted the states from regulating the sharing of any kind of information between a bank and its affiliate in order to protect this whole new range of banking, and not just simply a consumer provision.
Because Congress spoke specifically, remember, of course, that the FCRA relates to credit reporting, period. Congress spoke specifically to the problem that Your Honor has mentioned. In the Gremlin-Schweig Act, Title V of the Gremlin-Schweig Act says that financial institutions, banks, insurance companies, and securities firms cannot share information with third parties without providing consumers
right to opt out. That same title, Title V, also specifically reserves the right of the states to enact financial privacy measures that are more protective of privacy than what Congress has done. And we do not argue that that savings clause answers appellant's argument here regarding the FCRA preemption clause. What we do argue is that if we are to try to look at subsequent legislation and divine congressional intent back in 1996, GLBA would seem a lot more applicable because it specifically regulates financial information privacy, which is what SB 1 regulates. GLBA would be much more relevant than anything in the FACT Act. The FACT Act, which is the 2003 amendments referred to by Mr. Bruce, the FACT Act did not change the affiliate sharing preemption provision. It did not broaden it. It did not clarify it. It did not change it. So statements made by individual senators on the floor about their opinion of the preemptive effect of a preemption provision passed in 1996 are certainly not an adequate basis on which to divine the meaning and the domain of the preemption provision that is at stake in this case. I would also suggest that we should not infer anything from the fact that from another provision that that appellants have cited in their brief, which is that the FACT Act did say that the marketing opt-out provision would be considered to be a requirement or prohibition on affiliate sharing, and therefore the states are preempted from enacting any restrictions on the use of information obtained from affiliates. But that is only use. SB 1 does not in any way regulate use. It regulates only sharing, only disclosures. Consequently, the failure of Congress to say anything further or to include SB 1 on the list of statutes that were preserved does not mean anything. The list of statutes that were preserved were all statutes relating to credit reporting. California statute was preserved, for example, with respect to credit scores. And the same Congress did that. One presumes, and I think there is some support for this, that Congress did that because those statutes on credit reporting were already in place, they were already working, and so Congress was going to allow those to be grandfathered in. The same thing happened with respect to the Vermont credit reporting statute in 1996. Congress in 1996 said when it preempted the states from regulating affiliate sharing, for purposes of the FCRA, it also exempted from that and grandfathered in the Vermont credit reporting statute. That is a credit reporting statute. It is not a financial privacy statute. And all of the statutes that were grandfathered in were credit reporting statutes, and consequently, I believe there's no inference to be drawn by the omission of SB 1 from that list. I want to leave time for...
Counsel, we'll start tackling you.
In conclusion, I would like to say that a preemption provision in the FCRA that makes sense in the context of that statute should not be read to preempt state regulation of affiliate sharing in all contexts by any person covering all kinds of information, including medical information. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Kim Gray, and as counsel represented, I represent Department of Corporations and the Department of Financial Institutions in this matter. I see that the court has had a few questions, so I'll address my comments directly to those questions. Specifically, Judge Fletcher, you asked, what does the exchange of information mean? And I propose to you that the only way for this court to make that determination is to read the statutory scheme in totality, while paying special attention to the amendments in 1996 when that preemption provision was added.
Well, when Congress uses different words, how can you read them saying, well, you know, you read them together as if they were the same? They use consumer reports when they want the consumer report, and they use information when they want information. They could have used only one term, but they did use different terms.
That's correct, Your Honor. They did use different terms. In the other preemption provisions cited by the appellants in this case, they used the term consumer reports. In 1681 TB2, they specifically did not use the term consumer report. That is because the information shared among affiliates is expressly excluded from the definition of a consumer report in 1681A.
Let me tell you exactly what my concern is. And I think you're going to have trouble with it, but if you don't, I want to hear why. Because here's where I come out. Most of this case seems to me answered to me in 1996. Because in 1996, we get the passage of what is now 1681T, and we also get the passage of what is now 1681A. Both in 1681T, B1 and B2, the preemption clause is specifically addressed in various provisions to consumer reports and in sub 2 to information. We also get passed at the same time the definition of consumer report and the exclusion of certain information, using the word information, from the definition of consumer report. And it seems to me, and I guess I'm reinforcing Judge Kaczynski's question, it seems to me a fairly obvious thing. They're preempting consumer reports with respect to the definition of consumer report, and they're preempting information with respect to what shows up in 1681A D2. All these exclusions from the consumer report, they keep using the word information. Why is that information in 1681A2A, why isn't that what they mean by information when they're in the preemption clause?
Because they expressly excluded it from the definition. Therefore, it wouldn't make sense to use the term.
But the preemption clause doesn't say consumer report. It says information.
Well,
and information is being what is being excluded from consumer report, but information is precisely what's being the subject of this preemption clause.
But because it's been excluded in the 1681A, it no longer meets the definition. Therefore, it wouldn't make sense to say
that. So that's why you've got a separate preemption clause. You've got one preemption clause for aspects of consumer report, and you got another preemption clause for information.
I respectfully disagree.
Okay. Yeah, tell me why. Because that's where I start from.
That's the point I was trying to make, Your Honor, and hopefully I can make it more succinctly. That would be that the information was excluded from the definition. Therefore, it would not make sense. In fact, it would be incongruent for Congress to use the term consumer report in 1681TB2. Perhaps they could have said information that would be a consumer report but for the exclusion in 1681A. Unfortunately, we don't have that here. They've already excluded it from the definition. Therefore, it does not make sense that they would say restrictions or prohibitions relating to the sharing of a consumer report. It's not a consumer report because it's excluded from the definition. Therefore, it made clear to the states that they were not to treat information shared among affiliates as a consumer report also.
Counsel, why doesn't the term in 1681T, the use of the word information, unqualified, include information that in 1681A might be a consumer report, or that it might also be qualified information, or the term information as qualified, further qualified, and excluded from the definition of consumer report. In other words, we have two categories of things. One is that we have something that's called a consumer report, and we have certain classes of information that are excluded from that definition that would otherwise fall within the definition of consumer report. Those include that experience information and non-experience information, which is where the Congress used the term information and then qualified it just very specifically. By the time you get back to 1681T, Congress has used the word information without qualifying it, which suggests that it covers a broad category of things, including experience and non-experience information and consumer reports. So why don't we just take Congress at its word and use it and have the preemption clause include all kinds of information?
Because to do so would give an intent and purpose to the statutory scheme not intended by Congress and would exceed the scope and breadth of the Fair Credit Reporting Act in general. This statute needs to be read in...
Why would we have to be limited to the Fair Credit Reporting Act? Why couldn't Congress say, we are going to protect relationships between banks and their affiliates. Some of this is information that goes to the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Some of it may be beyond that. So be it.
Well, Your Honor, I respectfully submit that if Congress had intended that, they certainly could have amended the congressional findings and statement of purpose found at 1681A of the Fair Credit Reporting Act to say, not only do we intend to regulate information sharing that constitutes consumer reports and credit reporting, but now we also intend to regulate affiliate sharing. among financial institutions. Congress didn't do that. The legislative history, the language of the statute, and all of the amendments read together indicate that it is limited in its breadth and scope, and that the intent of Congress was to send to the states the message that they were not to treat information shared among affiliates as credit reports.
But it's clear, despite what a general statement of purpose says, it's clear that after 1996, in fact, the statute does regulate information sharing of non-consumer reports.
I respectfully disagree with that, Your Honor.
What in the world is 1681A2 doing if not regulating the exchange of non-consumer report information?
Exempting that information from the definition of a consumer report.
But it's also regulating it, for example, any communication of other information provided that is clearly and conspicuously disclosed and so on. There's clear regulation of that kind of information exchange.
Well, it explains to the affiliates how they are to reach that exemption. In other words, if you comply with these provisions, then you are exempted from complying with the Fair Credit Reporting Act. However, if you do not, then you have to meet the more stringent requirements.
With things that are categorized as consumer reports. Nonetheless, you have to comply with this disclosure and opt-out provision.
That is correct.
So it regulates it.
I think we could quibble all day over whether or not that's regulation. I would say that it certainly...
It affects behavior with respect to this category.
Admitted, Your Honor.
Okay.
Another question that was posed by the court was with regard to the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act and whether or not that provision, in fact, places any requirements with regard to affiliate sharing. And I would propose to you that it does. And the citation for that is 15 U.S.C. Section 6803, wherein the GLBA places a requirement upon financial institutions to disclose to their customers their practices and policies with regard to information sharing among affiliates. I note that I'm very close to being out of time, Your Honors. If you have any questions, I'd address that. I'm sorry?
You're actually over your time.
Oh, I have 25 seconds here. you're right. I apologize.
I have 28.
Are there any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me give you the citation. I promise the citation to the Graham-Leach-Bliley statute, Your Honor. 15 U.S.C. section marks 6802 and 6803.
6802 and
6803. Okay. I only want to make a few points, and it won't take 5 minutes.
You haven't got 5 minutes. You only got 3 points.
3 minutes. Ms. Howison's remarks that we have to worry about the application of this in all contexts is not why we're here today. We're here today to decide one thing and one thing only, and that's whether SB1 is preempted and all these other important and interesting questions really can be left for another day. It's important also to correct a small mistake on her part, an honest one, I know. The FACT Act did expand the preemption clause by making it clear that limitations on the use of information were preempted. That was new. They also made the act permanent. It would have sunset on January 1 of 2004. These are changes in the law.
Well, now I'm not sure I agree with your characterization. Yes, in 2003 there are certain restrictions placed upon use. I mean, the regulation changes. But that doesn't necessarily change the scope of what's preempted in terms of what the state may do.
Well, in fact, it does, because that's exactly what the statute did. And let me quickly read it. This is so-called user requirements.
Where are you? Are you on?
It's 1681 sub S sub 3.
Yeah, okay.
And it's over on sub C, user requirements. Requirements with respect to the use by a person of information received from another person, et cetera, is a restriction and prohibition within the meaning of that preemption clause. That was a broadening. My point is this. These comments of the legislatures on the FACT Act were not gratuitous observations by a subsequent Congress about an earlier Congress's action. These were an understanding of Congress as it was changing the law. I think I'd like to end on this note. I don't think any of your honors were on the panel that granted the motion to expedite that we filed, and we got an expedited briefing schedule and very much appreciate the expedited argument we've received today. But for all the reasons that were recited in that motion, and I could go into them if you'd like me to, we ask this court to promptly reverse the district court and declare that SB 1 is preempted. If there are no further questions, I'll stand down.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You. This case and all other cases argued today are order submitted. We are now adjourned.
Yeah.